May 7th, 2024. We're in Masechet Berachot and Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Aleph. We count from the bottom of the Amud up. It's 8 lines up, 4 words before the end of the line. If you recall very briefly, the context of our Gemara is a situation where a person's out in the field, needs to use the bathroom at a day and time, during a time period during which men would be wearing tefillin on a consistent basis. What is the person to do with their tefillin? We saw a dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel to begin this whole conversation with regards to taking them off, where you can leave them, where you should leave them, where you might leave them. Ultimately speaking, the Gemara describes and brought us to a state where it's too dangerous to just leave your tefillin out for all sorts of reasons. You can bring them in with you, but you should fold them up in the appropriate fashion as you enter into what we call the Beit Kiseh, the area which is purposed to relieve yourself. Says the Gemara, but you should know with regards to bringing them in such a fashion, that's what we're picking up on, there are certain qualifications. So says the Gemara, Amar bi Yaakov baraha, Amar bi zera, lo shanu ela, shiyesh shahut bayom lelovshan. Aval en shahut bayom lelovshan, ose lahem kmin kis tefah umanihan. Statement here of the rabbi of Rabbi Yaakov Baraha, and the name of Bizera is, when we refer to bringing in the tefillin and not and questioning and determining how you can bring them into the bathroom with you, it's specifically where there's shahut bayom lelovshan, which means to say there's still daylight hours remaining. There's still time in the day that you're going to, when you finish relieving yourself, put back on your tefillin. If you're finished, though, and it's very close to sunset, and you're not going to be putting your tefillin back on, even during an era when people were wearing tefillin at all times during the day, but the day is pretty much wound down, what are you to do in such a circumstance? You can't just roll them up and hold them as you enter into the bathroom. You should instead place them in a kis, kimin kis, and have them placed in there. What's a kis? A kis means like a pouch. What does it mean when we say a tefach? A tefach is the size of the depth of that pouch, something along the lines of a kuracha. Now, you don't need per se a kuracha, but you need something that could hold them in them. Our kurachas just for tefillin already have that tefach size. What's with the tefach size? Says Rashi, Oselahem kimin kis tefach, Oselahem kis tefach, writes Rashi, de halalo tefach. First and foremost, it has the empty space inside of a tefach. Why? De hashiv hakeli ohel lehafsik benam lakarka. Rashi explains that what that size is in the context and the halachot of Tuma and Tahara, this will now establish that utensil, that pouch, as what's called an ohil. An ohil means it'll be something, literally means a tent, which separates between what's inside of it and that which lies outside of it. So for example, if in the real tum'ah context, there's something dead, someone passes away, underneath a roof, but there's less than a tefach separating between that person and the roof or the ceiling on top of them, we look at it as if the body or the status of contamination of tum'ah goes directly upward. And as a result, if someone walks over it, they become tameh, but they didn't touch it and they didn't come. Doesn't matter. If there's no halal tefach over there, it's not an ohil. So as a result, what you want to do is you want to build in a space of tefach. Again, what's a tefach? About a fist width and or the length of a fist. And as a result, you're now building a situation which al pi halacha makes its own domain and separates it from entering it into a filthy area. You now have it in its own domain. You know, so in today's day and age, people, when they go, Chabad Hasidim, when they go to visit the Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha's Kever, so what they want to do if they're a Kohen is they want to be able to enter. They make for themselves, I'm not talking about whether permitted or not, whether right or wrong, but they make for themselves an ohil. So they walk in with a box surrounding them. So to speak, they're in a separate domain than the tum'ah that they'll come in contact with in the cemetery. Anyway, that being the case, says the Gemara, Selahem kimin kis tefach umanihan. Amar rababa barhana, amar biyohanan, bayom גוללן כמין ספר ומניחן בידו כנגד ליבו, ובלילה עושה להם כמין כסטפח ומניחם. The Gemara now cites from Rabbah Bar Hanan, the name of Biohanan, who says that when it comes to daytime, what you should do is you should roll them up kimin sefer. We discussed that earlier. In other words, you should roll the tefillin with the resu'ot up in an appropriate way, like as if it was a sefer Torah. You know, you're rolling it. Umanihan biyado, you can leave it in your hand, keneged libo, across from your heart. In other words, you don't need to put it in a pouch. Ubalayla, in contrast, at night, oseh lahem min kistefach umanihan. At night, you shouldn't be holding it in your hand. You should instead be putting it in that pouch to further remove it from the tumah of the bathroom.
Why shouldn't you always put it in the pouch? If you always have this pouch, I thought the original case was you don't have anything. Okay, so hold it and wrap it in the best way possible. But now you're saying you have a pouch. It's just about the time of day. Isn't it better if you have the pouch to put it in the pouch and then roll it? Like,
yeah, that's a great question. I assume the point is that you see, it might be because of your question. If you take a look at Rashi, look at Dibur HaMatachil Bayom. Let's start with that one. It says Rashi, Bayom, kshu holtzan bishvil bet hakiseh, golelan kimin sefer kedameran. Okay, so says Rashi that when we mention daytime, when you're going to relieve yourself, you should put them, you don't put them somewhere. Ubalayla, listen to the words of Rashi, which are surprising, but really might be coming to answer your question. Keshu holtzan bebeto almenat latzni ad haboker. Rashi says the Laila is in a different context. It's not when you're going to relieve yourself. It's when you come home and you're taking them off. It's a whole separate circumstance. Why did Rashi do that? Probably because he's stating for us, you probably don't have the pouch with you when you're out in the field. So when we talk about having the pouch, we mean at night when you come home. Of course, if it's in a situation where you have the pouch during the day, you should be putting it in the pouch as well. I think that's really what Rashi is preempting by making that distinction.
They were wearing it all day. So
Correct. It's not a situation where you're walking through the airport or through the market. Correct. It's you were wearing it at all times, so they didn't have the pouch. And osek means in your home, explains Rashi. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela bekeli shehu kilyan. Aval bekeli she'eno kilyan afilu pachot mitefach. Abaye further qualifies, or rather distinguishes, and he says, listen, when do you need there to be that space inside of the pouch? That's a tefach, again, the fist length. That's specifically when it's what we'll call a kuracha. It's the case or the pouch for the tefillin. Since it's the case or pouch for the tefillin, it's not going to be considered a separate domain unless it has space in it as well. Why not? Because it's, so to speak, connected to the tefillin. That is the case of the tefillin. That's in contrast to you found some random bag. It's not a bag which is purposed, a pouch which is purposed for the tefillin. In such a circumstance, we say that the tefillin are in a separate domain, a separate situation, not susceptible to the tumah, not an inappropriate entrance into the bathroom, provided that they're in that other thing. You might say in today's day and age, as opposed to the kuracha, it's in a backpack, right? In other words, you're in something else, you don't even need that halal tefach. Not that we're really, unless you're really talking about something very small, and unless it's a Ziploc bag, you're generally going to have this halal tefach. Okay, continues the Gemara, says, Amar Mor Zutra, V'itema Ravashe, Teda, you should know that statement we read just a moment ago of Abaye, to distinguish between if it's kilyan, meaning the specific pouch for the tefillin, where you need the halal tefach, as opposed to not kilyan, something that's not standard and natural for the tefillin, where you wouldn't need the tefach. Teda, I'll bring you proof from the laws of actual tumah and tahara. Let me repeat again what I mean by actual tumah and tahara. In our Gemara, we're talking about the inappropriate contamination of a bathroom. When we talk about actual tumah and tahara, we talk about parashat hukat, where a person comes in contact with a dead person, a dead body. Okay, so says the Gemara, says Rav Asher, I'll bring you an example from, quote, actual tumah and tahara. Teda, share pachin ketanim. A pach with a chaf, we know kind of from Hanukkah, right? Pach shemen. So it means some sort of small vessel. Ketanim, matzilin be'ohel hamet. You hear that? That explains Rashi. We're dealing with pachim ketanim, which have a tzamid and patil, which have a fastened top. And even though it's really small, which clearly means it's smaller than having space of a tefach inside, nonetheless, if it's under the roof of an ohel, in other words, it's covered by something, and it's ohel hamet, there's a dead body in there as well. provided that it's in that vessel, there would be no tumah. Why not? Well, the explanation clearly is, pachim ktanim are not miyuhad, they're not specific for whatever's inside of them, as opposed to, again, the kuracha and the tefillin. Amar mor zutra v'itemar avashe teda, we just read, shahare pachim ktanim matzilim bo'el emet. Ve'amar rabba barbahana, ki hava azlinan batre derbi yohanan. It says the Gemara, a short story. Rabba barbahana said, when we were walking, azil means to walk, azlinan is conjugation, anan means anachnu, we in Aramaic, azlinan means when we were walking, kihava means when. So kihava azlinan batre, batre means behind or after, like bava batra, the last gate. Batre derbi Yohanan, when we, I guess the students, remembers Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, were following Rabbi Yohanan, I guess on the way, kihava ba'il me'al lebet hakise, when Rabbi Yohanan needed to enter into the bathroom, kihava nakit sifrad agadita. And there was a time, or were times, when we were after Rabbi Yohanan, following our rabbi, he needed to use the bathroom, and he was holding Sifra de Agadita. He was holding the book of Agadot, what we would call today a midrash. He wasn't holding, per se, a halakha book, a Talmud of sorts. He was holding the Sefer Agada. Havayahivlan, he would give it to us. Before going into the bathroom, he'd give us the book. Kiava nakit tefillin, in contrast to when he was wearing his tefillin or holding even his tefillin, it says he wasn't even wearing it, lahava yahivlan, he wouldn't give it to us. Why not? What's the distinction? Amar ho'il v'sharinhu, ho'il v'sharunhu rabbanan nenateran. He said, since the rabbis permitted for me, or for us, to bring our tefillin into the bathroom, I'll hold on to them. Again,
he's valuing the Midrasha's book more than the...
It's not that he's valuing it. He knows that what seems to be emerging is the following. Both of them can be left outside. However, the tefillin I already have from the Hachamim because of a different fear. They had a fear that it would be stolen. I'm with my students. I don't fear it's going to be stolen. But nonetheless, once the rabbis, based on history, based on the way the halakha developed, established that tefillin can be entered into the bathroom, provided that you hold it in the proper way. So then, Nateran Rashi, Yishmeruni. I'll take the tefillin and they will protect me. He says, I have a loophole over here. My loophole is the rabbis permitted bringing tefillin into the bathroom. Why? Parentheses. Because there was a fear that they might be stolen, might be taken by rats or whatever. But over here, I don't really have that fear. But loophole, the rabbis permitted it. Oh, but why are you bringing it in anyway? I think that by holding on to them, this is Rashi's interpretation, ninateran, they'll provide protection for me from the mazikin. This is the rabbinic concept which they talk about from time to time. We've seen in Masechet Berachot already, of mazikin meaning demons. It could be dangerous for me in the bathroom. If I'm holding on to the tefillin, I can avoid that danger. Now, the loophole of the Hachamim was only with regards to tefillin. It was more prevalent. Every person was wearing the tefillin, even when they were out in the fields. Not everyone was holding a book when they were out in the fields. The book I need to give to you, not because it's more stringent, because there's no loophole from the rabbis. There's no precedence in halakha as opposed to the tefillin.
You should bring it in an airport, not leave it with your spouse, your kids, your parents. You should bring your koracha in the bathroom, is what he's saying.
It's an interesting point. It would emerge from this statement, your suggestion. However, we don't assume the halachot of mazikin or even the reality of mazikin any longer. Tosafot Masechet Yoma, Lechem Mishneh in Perek Bet of Hilchot Shevitat Asor, Yam Shel Shelomo in two places. The Chacham Vadia Yosef at great length in several places points out that this Ruach Ra'ah and Hashash for Shedim and mazikin is not in the same effect today. To the extent that you can have stringencies on the other end, we do netilat yadayim with the halachot of netilat yadayim, but a humrah which comes to a kula, which is entering into the bathroom with tefillin, we wouldn't go that far. It says the Gemara Amar Rava, a similar story, but a little bit of a different spin on it. Ki hava azlinan batre de Rav Nachman. So Rava remembers when we, the students, were walking after Rav Nachman. Ki hava nakit sifra da gadita. Okay, he also, much like Rabbi Yohanan earlier, when he was holding the book of Agadot, the Midrash, Yahivlan, he gave it to us. Ki havana ki tefillin, when he was holding his tefillin, la Yahivlan, he didn't give to us. Amar, his reasoning was, ho'il Visharun hu rabbanan nenatiran. He said, since the rabbi is permitted for us to bring them in, nenatiran. So it's an identical story, different rabbis. First time it was Rabbi Yohanan. This time it's Rav Nachman. First time the student was Rabba Bahana. Second time it was Rava, but otherwise identical story. Says the Gemara onward, tanu rabbanan beraita. Lo yohaz adam tefilin biyado. A person should not be holding the tefillin in his hand, not about wearing them, holding in his hand, or a sefer Torah, in his zeroa, in between his, underneath his armpit, so to speak, in other words, on the side of his body where you would hold the sefer Torah. V'yitpalel, you shouldn't be praying in such a fashion. Why not? What's the problem? Rashi, top of the page. She'en da'ato miyushevet ala b'tfila. Because it'll detract from your kavana, from your intention. Shahare libo tamid alehen shelo yipilu miyado. Because your mind is always on them to make certain that they don't fall out of your hand. Again, back in the Beraita. Lo yohaz adam tefillin biyado. A person should not be holding tefillin in his hand. Or a sefer Torah on the side. V'yitpalel ve, next halacha. Lo yashtin bahen mayim. You furthermore shouldn't urinate while holding the tefillin or sefer Torah. Now we will return to this law because that doesn't sound like what we're posek lahalacha. We spent so much time on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph explaining. Maybe according to Beit Shammai, you can't enter into the bathroom while holding the tefillin. But Beit Hillel explained to us, based on what happened over the course of time in terms of the danger and safeguarding your tefillin, there are ways that you can and should be entering into the bathroom with them. We'll return to that.
Say Beit Palel, we mean Amidah only?
Amidah. Yes.
Not talking about kaveh, you're taking off your tefillin, you're folding.
Correct. Correct.
I'm talking about Amidah.
Correct. Velo yishan bahen, and you should not sleep with them. Lo shenat keva, velo shenat arai, neither a permanent sleep nor even a nap. Now, what does that mean? Lo yishan bahem. What are we referring to? While they're on you or while you're holding them? It sounded like while you're holding them, right? That's what we described. Then what's the fear? If the holding them was that there's a fear that you'll drop them, is that your mind will be taken off of it? What's the issue over here? Writes Rashi, two lines from the top, a few words onto the line. Lo yishan bahem sheme yapiah. Says Rashi, maybe you'll pass gas while holding them and sleeping. If you see, there's a note over there. It's to Gaon Mivilna, as well as Rabbi Akiva Eger. Gaon Mivilna fixes the word and says, "V'lo yishan bayen sheme yapil." Maybe they'll fall out. You'll drop them. Now, those two versions of maybe passing gas or maybe dropping them is really dependent upon a Gemara, which is important to learn when we get there, inshallah, in Masechet Sukkah Daf Kafvav. The Gemara over there has this as a contradiction of sorts, and the Gemara over there establishes two separate statements of the rabbis. One is referring to when the tefillin are on your head, and the other two when you're holding on to them. Regardless, this Beraita, for our purposes, states, without getting into the either yapiah or yapil, which is an important conversation for a separate occasion, says that you cannot and should not be sleeping with the tefillin in your hand and certainly not with them on you. Amar Shemuel, continues the Gemara, sakin uma'ot v'ke'ara v'kikar hare elu kayose bahen. The statement of Shemuel is a knife, money, a plate, or bread, any of those are kayose bahen. In other words, they're no different than tefillin and sefer Torah. Rashi, hare elu kayose bahen, le'inyan tefila. We're talking about with regards to tefillah, not about sleeping. Why? Shedoeg alehen, writes Rashi, shelo tipol hasakin. Your fear is that the sakin, the knife, will fall v'tazikenu and hurt you. V'hakeara, or the plate, tishafech, will spill out. In other words, there's food in it. V'hamaot, and the money, yovedu, will be lost. V'hakikar, and the loaf of bread, yitanef, will get dirty. Rashi, interestingly, gives us a specific rationale and reason for each one of these. Rashi doesn't simply say holding on to these is a problem. Rashi says holding on to them because each one of them poses a specific distraction. That's very interesting and perhaps significant. It might emerge, and Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of the Gemara has two ways to go on this. It might emerge, according to Rashi, that it's specifically items that pose objective distractions that are forbidden during prayer. What would that mean about holding a tissue during prayer? It sounds like from Rashi it would be permitted. There's no issue per se with holding on to something. The Gemara gave you specific examples because each one of them have something specific and particular about what your fear would be. The Sefer Torah and the Tefillin, because they have Kedusha and they have sanctity, and you're going to be worried about them falling. Any of these others, yes, about them falling or getting dirty or getting lost, but specifically because they are objectively, generally speaking, with regards to human beings, distracting situations. It means that if you're dealing with something that we could say somewhat normally and regularly would not distract a person, they don't think about holding the pen in their hand or the tissue in their hand, that would be permitted during prayer and during Amidah. And again, those are two lishono, two ways to go in Rabbeinu Yonah.
As opposed to holding a cell phone, which is objectively a distraction.
Correct. Correct, and the Poskim writes so explicitly that cell phones, on several grounds, specifically this Gemara for our purposes as well,
even
are objective distractions.
Get distracted, you know that objectively it's a distraction. It's
and as a result, be asur. Now there is an interesting, without getting into it right now, although maybe we should the next class, there is an interesting debate amongst the Poskim. What does that mean about praying from a cell phone? In other words, have we now established that a cell phone is objectively distracting?
Yeah.
And even if you put it on airplane mode and you're using the sidur on it, you shouldn't be able to. This is a debate. That's a big discussion. You're saying it matter-of-factly. That means that when you're in a minyan and people are using their phone in order to pray from, they shouldn't be doing so. The poskim do discuss this matter. There is a strong view in many of the contemporary poskim who argue you can't use it. There's a counterclaim as well that maybe, you know, provided that it's on the airplane mode and you're using it for the tefillah, it would be more permitted along the lines of the tefillin on your head as opposed to in your hand. Right? Says the Gemara onward, Amarava, Amarav Sheshat, Let Hilchita Kiha Matnita. We're going to just begin this next segment of the Gemara, you should realize, says Rava in the name of Rav Sheshat, that last beraita that we just cited, let hilchita, it's not the halacha doesn't follow it. Why not? The Beit Shammai. Aha. He says, because that accords with Beit Shammai. This is what I was referring to earlier.
Which halacha? Everything we just said?
Great question. No. Well, it says that the whole beraita is following the opinion of Beit Shammai, but not really. Because it's only one issue that he's going to have. The one issue he's going to have is not with regards to the others, and he's not purporting or suggesting that the whole thing is all Beit Shammai. It's one halakha doesn't accord with our mainstream opinion, and the Gemara is going to challenge and spend a bunch of time on this. It doesn't discredit all the other halakhot. It's specifically with regards to holding the tefillin or forbidding holding the tefillin when entering into the bathroom. Right, the Gemara now is calling attention to what I mentioned. We spent a lot of time on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph explaining how Beit Shammai held that you have to leave your tefillin outside, whereas Beit Hillel made it clear that it's not so. Di Beit Hillel, says the Gemara, says Rav Sheshat more specifically, if we were to follow Beit Hillel, Hashta Beit Hakise Kavua Share. Beit HaKiseh Arai, Mi Ba'aya, Beit Hillel's opinion very clearly was even in a Beit Kiseh Kavua, to remember Beit Kiseh Kavua, the difference between Kavua, permanent, or Arai is the difference between it's the first time, keep in mind we're out in the fields before you had stationary specific bathrooms and portals and porta-potties and things of that sort. So it's either the first time it's being used, that's called Arai, or even Kavua means it's established. According to Beit Hillel, even in a Beit Kiseh Kavua, which means it's a bathroom that's already been used, someone relieved themselves there already, you can nonetheless, in order to relieve yourself when you have the tefillin, enter in, again, specific fashion. But that being the case, in this beraita, we're not talking specifically about the Beit Kiseh Kavua, Beit Kiseh Arai. It makes us believe that even Beit Kiseh Arai, even if it's the first time, meaning it's not dirty in this place already, you're saying that you're not allowed to enter in while holding your tefillin. But Beit Hillel told us that even in a Beit Kiseh Kavua, even if it's a bathroom which is already dirty, it's already been used, you can enter in with your tefillin. Read those words together with me again in the Gemara. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Sheshat, letilcheta, the halacha does not accord with ki hamatnita this beraita, the Beit Shammai. It seems to follow the opinion of Beit Shammai. Di'i Beit Hillel, because if it's to go with Beit Hillel, hashta, now Beit Hillel told me, Beit HaKiseh Kavua, share, it's permitted even in a Beit Kiseh Kavua. kavua, again, a dirty, already used bathroom. Betakiseh arai mi baya. Would you need to tell me? In other words, it goes without saying that if it's a betakiseh arai, the place is not dirty yet, it's certainly going to be permitted. Rashi, four lines from the top. De'i betilel ha'amre le'el. Didn't they say earlier on daf kafkim ala mudalef? O hazan biyado v'nichnas. You hold it in your hand and you enter into the bathroom. Betakiseh arai kegon, for example, lehashtin. To urinate, she'en adam holech bishvilam lebet hakiseh, ve'hapam hazot na'asa ha'makom hazeh bet hakiseh techila. This is a situation where it's just being established as that now. You don't need a already dug in the ground type of situation. Well, says the Gemara, and we're going to end with this question from now, metiveh, we have a question on this. The question is that your assumption is and was that this beraita only goes with Bet Hillel and not Bet Shammai. Yes? Metiveh, I have a beraita which seems to challenge that assumption that this beraita is Bet Shammai and not Bet Hillel. Why so? Because the beraita says the following. Devarim shehitarti lecha kan, asarti lecha kan. Matters and things which I said are forbidden here, are permitted here, I forbade there. In the context of this beraita, we think, there was a statement. This beraita says, don't enter into the bathroom holding your tefillin. Okay. Then I have a statement which we think is appended, connected to this beraita, which says, you should know, some things which I said elsewhere are permitted, I'm telling you over here are forbidden. Yes? Now, if it's Bet Shammai, this beraita, did Bet Shammai ever say that you can enter into a bathroom with your tefillin? No, not Bet Kiseh Kavua, not Bet Kiseh Arai. However, if it's Bet Hillel, I might, it's going to defy logic for the moment, or maybe even through the end, but I might suggest that Bet Hillel said, when it's a Bet Kiseh Kavua, that's where you're allowed to enter with your tefillin. If it's a Bet Kiseh Arai, that's where you're not. Why would you distinguish? I'll already tell you from now, even though we're not going to see this Gemara per se today, the difference might be with regards to how, if a person's urinating, there's a sprinkle back effect. In other words, if it's deeper and already situated, maybe there'll be less. Maybe it'll be more prohibited, ironically, in a situation where it's new, first-time usage, than when it's already been used. But again, the words over here, says the Gemara, I can't accept that letilchita, like this beraita, that the beraita goes with Beit Shammai, because how would you explain these words? Metiveh, devarim sheitarti lecha kan, asati lecha kan, my love, should we not suggest that these words are referring to tefillin, this exact issue of tefillin in the bathroom. Iyamarta bishlama Bet Hillel. If you were to tell me that this beraita is actually talking about Bet Hillel, I understand this line. Hitarti lecha kan kavua. When am I permitting the entrance of tefillin into the Bet Kiseh when it's an already used kavua? That's what we saw in Daf Kafki Malamud Aleph. And then I'll tell you, asarti lecha kan is Bet Kiseh Arai. That's this Gemara. That's this beraita. Ela iyamarta Bet Shammai. If you're going to tell me it's Bet Shammai, Bet Shammai said neither the Bet Kiseh Kavua nor the Bet Kiseh Arai was ever permitted. How would you understand that? Answers the Gemara, Kitanya Hahi La'inyan Tefah Utfahaim. We'll get to those words next time, but I'll already introduce it. The Gemara suggests that those words, Devarim, matters which I permitted here, I'm forbidding here, had nothing to do with the entrance into the bathroom of Tefillin. It did have to do with relieving yourself, had to do with how much you can expose yourself according to the laws of Tziniut. Tefach or Tfahayim, how much of your body can be exposed. In one place, we're permitting more than in another case, and we'll have to address that, but it means that this deflection of the Gemara for now will say, no, the Beraita really is Bet Shammai, and those words were bothering you and led you to believe that it's Bet Hillel. No, those words had nothing to do with our issue. They rather had to do with relieving yourself and how much you can expose of your body while doing so, but we'll continue with this next time. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.